Welcome to the Songs of Note podcast, where we talk about the songs we love and the stories behind them. I'm your host, Ryan Gregg.
Hey, thank you so much for joining me for the Songs of Note podcast today. Man, I'm really excited about today's episode. I'm getting to talk to Cautious Clay, who is a new artist to me, and he has a killer new record that came out this year called Deadpan Love. He writes songs that are, I mean, they're interesting because they are beat oriented, but they also, I would classify it more as indie rock. But it's like a combination of sounds and instrumentation that I really can't place as far as something that is comparable. But I've just worn it out. I mean, I've been listening to it nonstop, and I just really, really love it. So today I'm talking with Cautious Clay, whose name is Josh Carpe, and his record came out just in the past couple months. And he's going to tell a couple of the stories behind some of these songs, and then I'll actually get to play you some of the songs, which, especially if you haven't heard him before, I think it's super, super helpful to be able to put context to some of the stories behind songs, and it's really the best case. So if you don't know him, Cautious Clay, the album is Deadpan Love, and let's head on over to the interview now. Well, hey, Josh, I'm so glad that you are able to join us today to talk about your new record, Deadpan Love. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Man, I got to tell you, I have been wearing your album out. I love it. And I think that for me, the thing that I love about it is it's so unique in the combination of styles of it that I'm hearing. So first off, I just want to say I really enjoyed it. For people who are maybe hearing of you for the first time or they've heard of you, but they don't know much about you, I'd love to just ask you a little bit about your life and how you got into music. Did you grow up in Cleveland, Ohio? Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. I lived in, or grew up in Cleveland until I was about 18 and, went to a, Montessori, like kind of like a Jewish Montessori middle school, and then a Catholic all boys high school, and then moved to Washington D.C. for college.
Okay, so, when did you get into? I guess when did you get into music growing up, or was it a younger thing, or did you get into that later?
So I actually got into it pretty young. I was actually seven, and had just started learning, like taking flute lessons at seven. And then picked up the saxophone in high school because they're both pretty similar but it was for the jazz band. So it kind of had that application, playing alto saxophone. And then eventually I switched from alto to tenor, and they're all kind of similar. So it wasn't a huge learning curve. But I feel like that was like my first initial kind of foray into like actually just playing music and like understanding it.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's been with me for some time.
This is going to be
21 years.
That's all. This will be a nerdy side trail. But I was in jazz band too, and I played a clarinet in marching band, which was not cool. But by doing that, it allowed me to play guitar in jazz band. Did you have to do regular band and jazz band, or just jazz band?
Yeah. So I did jazz band for a while, and then I did regular band, but then I only did that for a year because I thought I played flute in marching band, and then I also played saxophone in jazz band. So it was like it was sort of one of these things where my band teacher was like, okay, you should do both.
And nice.
I was like, you know what, I'm gonna stick with because I was also like the only flute player in my marching band. So it was like, I feel like at that time I was just like, oh man, like, you know, I've kind of felt like left out because I wasn't like necessarily the most confident at that point in my abilities.
Sure.
So, you know, jazz band was like a cool way for me to like not be the only person playing an instrument.
Yep.
There's another saxophone player.
That makes sense. Okay. So you got into music then, and then at what age did you start working on songs or playing guitar?
So it was probably closer to, I guess, sophomore, junior year of college, actually, at that point. I'd been, like, messing around with guitar in high school, but I never really got that. I couldn't really play much. I still can't play a ton, but you know, I can get chords and ideas out. But at that time, I couldn't really play much because I was all kind of self-taught in that world, and so I had, and I was playing it upside down. So I
really
put a right-handed guitar upside down. So
nice.
That also led to just like me having to sort of like figure out my own way of playing and my own chords and things like that. So, but eventually I did over time, and then yeah, I would say I was probably 18, 19 when I started to really find that foundation. Mm-hmm. And then into my like 20, 21, 22 was like when I really started to like write songs and then like record them on my phone. It wasn't really until it was about 23 that I really like found a way to like write songs and produce them and mix them and do the whole thing. But it was like sort of like production and songwriting were like almost two separate fields of thought for me.
Oh, interesting.
But I eventually merged them and was able to like kind of make make my way doing that. Because I was also like DJing a bunch and like producing remixes on SoundCloud, and there was that whole community but like recording and producing out vocals and things was still kind of foreign to me. So that whole period of learning was through like my early 20s.
So you're 28 now, is that right?
Yeah.
So you just, I mean, 5 years ago and you're starting that, and then now you've got all these songs and incredible record out. That's incredible. And that is really amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. No, it was cool. I feel like honestly, it kind of sounds like it was very serendipitous, but at that point I'd already learned how to kind of self-produce over like a while. Like, you know, I started producing music when I was probably, oh, I don't know, like 17. But then I wasn't like recording and writing any of my music till I was like maybe, like I said, 18, 19.
Okay.
And so like there was a huge growth period of like separation that, and then I was also obviously like a flute and saxophone player and was a jazz studies minor. So I was just picking up a lot of different skills throughout my teenage years that allowed me to like by the early 20s be like a fully realized sort of songwriter, producer, mixer, you know. And I didn't have to really, so that was like really the way that I could jumpstart my career without having to have like, you know, a record label or a production team or anything like that. It was all just, I was able to do everything in my room.
That's awesome, man. I love it. Well, for people listening, I'd love to play one of the tracks off the record. The song Agreeable is one that I just play all the time. I'm curious if what kind of sparked the inspiration for this song, if you have thoughts on it.
Yeah, so I had actually written that song probably at the beginning of the pandemic, and I wanted to just sort of think about what that meant in terms of like feeling like, you know, agreeable in the context of like your personal life and how in some ways like every one of us have to make sacrifices, you know, to like to sort of be in situations with people, whether they're friends or relatives. I wanted to sort of like flip it on its head in some ways, like the idea of like being agreeable. And the first verse lyrics are like, what I want falls shorter than perfect, but better than earnest. And that almost seems impossible. So I kind of wanted to just call into question like the idea of like what, you know, in certain instances, like we don't always get what we want, but we make it work. And it's a different thing for everyone.
All right, well, let's play it. This is the song Agreeable from Deadpan Love.
Than perfect, but better than earnest. Do better next time when your life wasn't worth it. Don't wanna be nice, I just wanna be right. I don't wanna break bread. had to start fights.
That was the song Agreeable, which is just one of the many great tracks on the Deadpan Love record. Okay, so I'm curious for your influences. I'm curious of, well, two things. One, of what bands you were listening to growing up that made an impression on you. And then any bands you're listening to or artists you're listening to now that you'd say are influential on you.
Like as a kid, I was really into like... Green Day, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Nice.
I was really into the Isley Brothers as well.
Oh, yeah.
I was really into, this is a little bit of a, I don't know. I was, as a kid, I was like really into Creed as well.
Like, man, I was into Creed really too. Into Creed. That's funny. Yeah. It was a brief time for me, but I loved them.
Yeah. I know. I had to say it. So, and what else? Yeah. I mean, those were like some of the bands. Like I was also really into like, my first couple CDs, yeah, were like a Creed Human Clay CD,
yeah,
and then Isley Brothers, and then Little Bow Wow had a Bow
okay.
Wow CD.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just funny. So, yeah, and then somewhere along the way, like probably when I was about 15, 16, I watched this documentary called The History of Jazz by Ken Burns.
Yeah.
Like that really changed my life, and then I had a huge jazz phase, and I don't think I ever left it, but, you know, like... That was like a big formative time for me in terms of like musicianship and my understanding of music in general. So I went through a pretty huge phase with that, and you know, listening to everything from Eric Dolphy to Clifford Brown and a bunch of those guys. And then I went through a big like electronic phase and like kind of like even dubstep.
Okay.
Essentially just kind of like there was a lot of also like songwriters and things that I loved, and Laura Nyro, really into her.
Mm.
And obviously like Joni Mitchell,
Nick Drake, okay,
Barry White,
okay,
Marvin Gaye, obviously.
Oh yeah.
Smokey Robinson,
nice.
Really love. And then, like, yeah, a bunch of, like, the kind of, like, more yacht rock as well. Just, like, what's his name? Wow. I hate when that... Oh, yeah, Hall & Oates.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys. I love those guys.
Yes.
It's... I feel like my taste is always sort of... Like, I think from, like, especially... there's a lot of good music coming out now, but I think from, like, the area of, like, the 60s and 70s, it was a really incredible time for music because... They were merging a lot of the things that like a lot of like analog instruments with like, you know, real instruments. And so like that, you know, you had everything from like a lot of like like soft rock, heavy rock. You had early disco, all that happening, you know, and jazz, and all that was happening in that 20-year period, and like, and that would eventually just, you know, blossom into the many different things that we consider today. So I don't know.
Totally. That I love those, that time period too. Did you ever get into PM Dawn? Because for whatever reason, he was the guy, like, I was like, man, when I first heard you, I was like, your voice, like the tone or something was like, oh, I wonder if he ever listened to him. Did you?
I honestly have to check that person out. I've never heard of that.
There he had like two hits that back in the 90s. And I loved them. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, man, if I could ever ask him, I wanted to ask him that. So that's interesting.
PM Dawn.
PM Dawn. Okay. Yeah. A couple really great songs. Anyway, all right. So let's play another song. I would love to hear about Wildfire. What was kind of the inspiration behind this one?
Yeah, totally. So honestly, this one was really essentially just like describing the feeling of putting yourself out there, and feeling vulnerable, but like running with it anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's a relationship, whether it's like even conversations with yourself, I feel like it's something that I wanted to consider. It's like, you know, like you're starting a wildfire in my heart. Hope it's what you want, not just what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's kind of like that kind of like, okay, are you playing with my emotions or right. is it really something that you're feeling?
Mm.
So sometimes it's even, like I said, like if it's having to do with even personal growth, sometimes you're like, what, do I really want that? Or do I feel like I want that?
Mm. You
know? And so it's like, it can be applied to both scenarios, but that's essentially what the song's about.
I love it. All right, let's play it. This is Wildfire.
Your eyes are like weapons. Your lips could teach lessons. Don't use them so reckless, 'cause for you I'm helpless. You gotta take caution. You know that I'm all in. The chance of me falling, you know that it's softened. But if you don't wanna stay, then please stop moving this way. It's starting up a wildfire in my heart. Hope it's what you want, not just what you do. You're starting up a wildfire in my head. Hope it's what you mean, not just what you do. This love is so costly, it's killing me softly. Don't know what to call it, this thing that you started. You make it look easy, the way that you leave me into the fire, babe. Are you coming with me? Yeah. If you don't wanna stay,
don't wanna stay,
then please stop moving this way. It's starting up a wildfire in my heart. Hope it's what you want, not just what you do. You're starting up a wildfire in my head. Hope it's what you mean, not just what you do. Hope it's what you want, not just what you do.
What you want, just what you do.
All right, that's another track off of the Deadpan Love record, which I, as I said, I just am loving it. What's kind of the road been like leading up to the release of this record? I think you had worked on it for quite a while, is that right, leading up to the release?
Yeah, I've been putting out music now for about 4 years, but I essentially there are songs on this album that I've had for that amount of time. Mm-hmm. So three to four years. And yeah, I it sort of come from a variety of different inspirations, and the even like the title kind of having more to do with just like the complexity of like what it feels like to be a human, and also just like happy or sad, your life, like it's things are funny, you know. I just wanted to sort of cover all of the bases with this album, you know, and so like deadpan love is sort of like this duality in some ways. So it's like deadpan is almost like it's often used with the word like in ideas of a comedy. Mm-hmm. So it's like an outer layer of sarcasm to protect like an inner layer of compassion, which would be like the love. Mm. So it's like deadpan and love together, sort of creating this idea around, you know, your like my identity, mm. truly, but then like I think in a lot of ways a way that a lot of people feel, you know, today. So
okay, so we in the time period that we're in now, and in trying to release new music, trying when you have something that's really good, you want people to know about it, like how do you get people's attention in this world outside of just, you know, doing the best work that you can, doing the best artistry you can? I'm just wondering from your perspective, like what are the things that you find are the ways that you can gain people's attention in 2021 with music?
Yeah, to be honest, that is certainly one of the hard things to do. I find myself really focusing in on like my way of making music, and also just like, you know, talking about things that truly are applicable to me, or just like even just like matching the energy of like what I'm going through, mm. On a day-to-day basis, not only as an artist, but like as a, you know, millennial, or, you know, on the cusp of like Gen Z in some ways. And so like, it's, yeah, I don't know, to be honest with you, I think we're in a period where music has kind of being merged with entertainment in an entirely different way. So I feel like I kind of ride that line of sort of making music that I genuinely feel like is about the music first and foremost, but then also like has some sort of a cultural relevance as well. Mm. So it's honestly, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that for you, but I think it's really just like speaking to things that you can get behind, and that you can really feel as though like, hey, I can talk about this,
yeah.
and feel comfortable with it, as opposed to like trying to do something that doesn't feel like it represents you.
Okay, I'd love to play another song. I'd love to play the song Roots, which I believe you said that you wrote in quarantine. Is that kind of about relationships? How did that one get started?
Yeah, no, it's honestly about, it's a song about like toxic behavior in some ways, but then also like from someone that you have roots with. So obviously like the title being Roots is sort of like the condition of like you having the deep roots with what, if, you know, maybe it's your brother or your sister or a girlfriend or a partner that you've known for a long period of time. But like, you know, you see that there's like weird tendencies or bad tendencies in some cases, but then you still want to like figure it out, you know. So a good example is like From Atoms Up to Comets, Life Is Never Promised, You Could Make Me Wanna Lie and Be Dishonest. Those are the first mm-hmm. verse lyrics. So it's like, you could literally make me want to bring out the worst elements of myself and still, you know, be in the whatever this thing is. Because it's like, yeah, that's like the name of the song. It's like Roots. So it's like you have roots with this person, yet there's like something that bothers you about them, or maybe there's something that you feel like you can't get over.
Mm.
So then you kind of like, you're wondering if it's like worth sticking around for in some ways. And
got it.
And so, yeah.
All right, well, let's play it. This is the song Roots.
Oh, atoms up to comets. Life is never promised. You could make me wanna lie and be dishonest. Simple things, they mean much. Just stay or I'll be in touch. I'm clocking out at 8. Let's get tacos in the red punch. But you got your eyes down. And you say you're gonna leave. Got a clean house. Just another rinse, repeat. The simple things that mean much. It's never been a science. So you gotta trust it in the process. Cause nothing lasts forever anyway. Got my best advice from a broken screen display. But you got your eyes down. And you say you're gonna leave. You got your eyes down. You say you're gonna leave. Got a clean house. Just another rinse, repeat. On life. In life. Life. In
All right. Well, that was the song "Roots" from Deadpan Love. Did I see that you collaborated with John Mayer on his "Swim Home" song? Is that right?
Yeah. So I released a song called "Swim Home" in 2019, and we put that out together. Yeah, he played guitar on that song.
All right. What was that like getting together with him?
It's great. It's great. I mean, he's a great guy. We have a friendship of sorts, and it's cool because in general it's like, you know, I you know, whether it's like just hitting him up to like catch up or obviously like write songs and things like that, it's always like we've kind of developed that kind of relationship now. And I recently sang some background vocals on his album that he just put out.
That's awesome.
Which is cool, and a song called "Carry Me Away."
Yeah, so
there's like, you know, it's like we definitely are in a great place, and I certainly consider him just like a friend.
I'm curious because I know you have a tour coming up in 2022. It looks huge. Like for me, I've been to a couple shows since shutdown, and it's felt so fun getting together with people again and hearing music and cathartic even. And I'm curious, if that's true for you as a performer, and what kind of things you can people can expect coming to those shows.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've been pent up for a while, and I'm honestly so excited to be playing. We've had such a period where like nothing was happening, yeah. So it's been nice, and like we've already started to play a lot of festivals and things like that, and it's really coming together in this great way, and so yeah, no, I mean, honestly, it's been really solid, and I feel excited because we actually just added a member to my band as well. This keys player, percussion player, and it's added like a whole another dimension to what we're doing. So we're going all over the US and Canada and Europe. So yeah.
That's going to be awesome. I saw you coming through Dallas, so I'm going to have to hit that up. I can't wait. Absolutely. Man, well, Josh, really appreciate you coming on. For people listening, Cautious Clay, and the album is Deadpan Love, and it's fantastic. So, man, really appreciate your time today for coming on the show and just being able to talk about your songs, and wish you the very best in the year to come.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Songs of Note podcast. Be sure and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.